All right, my guest today, Lauren, is a friend of a friend that I was introduced to. And she's a New York City-based entertainment journalist and host who pretty much knew she wanted to write about gossip and entertainment for much of her life. She's always loved to investigate. She loves to write about Hollywood crime. She's been featured on a bunch of different media outlets like Fox News, Elle, Page Six, tons of places. And as she stated with her values, she has a lot of values, but the one that kind of stuck out was she has a deep passion for sharing people's stories, trying to help bring them justice and bring the truth out. And she's really committed herself to that world. And I found this conversation interesting because in many ways, like the world I usually live in on this show and just in general of kind of deep philosophical thinking seems to be very different than the world of entertainment news and gossip. And I'll say, like, to be honest, I was really conscious of that during the discussion. And I wanted to be really careful not to come off kind of judgmental or critical, you know, in that difference. But at the same time, trying to explore Lauren's values and her work to understand it better. I don't think, you know, I think we all have different paths and different perspectives in life. So I don't think that's ever the right way to go. I always just kind of want to understand and see what's underneath. And it's funny because if you really think about it, we're not all that different. Like I'm also trying to hear people's stories and share them with the world. We just have different approaches to how we do it. So it was cool to hear how she got into this career, the challenges she faces, the dreams she has. And, you know, we hit some of those provocative topics. We talked about some of the negative connotations that can be attached to gossip and entertainment, which Lauren acknowledged herself can be very real. She said at one point during the show, it's a really weird phenomenon to get a huge dopamine hit, you know, when you make a post on TikTok and it gets over 1 million views. But at the same time, you kind of know how bad that is for you, and that's not a good thing. We talked about that tension of needing the external validation and the likes and the follows and all that, while also trying to maintain a healthy ego and perspective. And maybe the most interesting part of the discussion was about the role bullying plays in her profession. And Lauren talked a lot about the degree of bullying she experiences herself for the views that she shares. And as you'll hear in the discussion, she had some strong political and social views as well. So we talked about really like the level of trust you have to have in your own judgment for the position that she's in to report stories that can have such a negative impact on people's lives. And also, you know, the idea like this circular nature of bullying, if you will, like where people often feel like she maybe is bullying or mistreating them or other people. So they return by bullying and mistreating her. And it's kind of this interesting cycle and interesting to think about. You know, perhaps there's some irony in that. Perhaps there's some, I don't know. As I said, it can feel like all this is far removed from philosophy. But I actually think when you get into it, there's a ton to learn about human nature in the work Lauren does in the field she works in. So really fascinating for me to get some insight into that. And I really do appreciate her being on and sharing her story and her perspective. So with that, let's get to Lauren. All right, Lauren, thanks so much for being here. Psyched to talk to you today. I like to dive right in, so I will with the first question of what's the value that's most important to you?
Oh, I feel like I have many values that are important to me. Is that allowed? Is it allowed
I leave it open to go wherever you want to go.
Okay, perfect. No, I have a lot that is valuable. So with my profession, I started off only wanting to do entertainment because I felt like so much of the news is negative, and sometimes people just want to shut their brains down and, you know, and hear about the latest movie or the latest show, you know? So I was really enjoying bringing that aspect of media to people and not, you know, bringing them all this bad news. So then the pandemic happened and I started to get a little bit more involved with the actual news, the hard news. I ended up getting a job at, you know, a radio station doing news for them. And I really was like, wow, I mean, it's kind of hard for me not to escape, you know, hard news at this point and tell people what I know. So I felt, you know, all of a sudden that was important to me, that, you know, I'm discovering this at a local level. And that's what I mean, so to speak, news at a local level. What's happening in the city? What was happening with our kids? They were trying to, you know, foist a vaccine on our kids that, you know, to go to restaurants and stuff. And I was like, whoa, 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 I need to get this information out there. So that was valuable. And then now at this point in my career, it's been about, that was like, let's say 3 years ago. Now what's valuable to me is hearing people's stories, putting them on my own podcast or my own platform and, you know, trying to help them get justice. So I still do entertainment. I still sprinkle that in everywhere because that's really, actually, I shouldn't say sprinkle. sprinkled in. I sprinkle in more of the justice and the crime. I sprinkle that in with mostly entertainment, but I think it's important that I cover all of it now. Yeah. So that's valuable to me. And also, you know, I really, my kids are, my daughter's seven, almost seven, sorry. And my son is five, almost five. I'm just like used to
close
saying
enough.
That.
Close enough.
Yeah, like close enough. Yeah. So it's important to me that they see that what I'm doing, I'm passionate about, and that, you know, I'm helping, and mm-hmm. I'm not just doing this, you know, for the money. And I'm going to say that because there is no money in it. I mean, it's like the, you know, I write for, I'm a freelancer. I write for websites. I do a podcast. So it's like the money I'm pulling in every month is definitely not enough to support myself. Mm-hmm. So I guess that's another thing. People that want to do this, I mean, I'm not going to lie. Like, I'm lucky that I have a husband that can totally support us, because I'd be going insane if I wasn't. But yeah, so all of that really drives me and is really important to me. And it's just, it's interesting that the world of media, like for me, I've evolved into, you know, these different compartments over the last few years. Cause the more you learn, the more you're like, ooh.
Well, let me press on it. Like, so I think it's an awesome answer. What's the why underneath it? Like, why do you feel like you need to get that news out there? Why do you want to understand people's stories? Why do you want your kids to see, you know, that you're doing that? Like, what's underneath mm-hmm. it for you? Is it like a altruistic good that you just think you're helping to make the world a better place? Is it something that you just really enjoy? And you're like, hey, if you enjoy something and you love it, you go after it. Like, what is underneath it?
Yeah. I mean, I would say the entertainment stuff was super enjoyable at first, because I was on red carpets. I got to talk to celebrities. I mean, you know, you're sitting here, and when I first started this, I'll admit, like, the clout was awesome. I was posting all this on, you know, Facebook and Instagram, and everyone from high school is like, oh my God. And I'm like, yeah, if you only knew, I made like $12 an hour doing that, you know, whatever. But yeah, it was cool. Everyone's like, oh, look, you know, Lauren Collins with, like Will Smith on the red carpet. That was cool. And, you know, but I realized that wears off, right? Mm. That's not fulfilling. That is absolutely, because as much as people think it's so cool to go to the Met Gala, which I worked it 1 year, it was the worst night of my life. My feet got stomped on. I was pushed around. There's no room for, like, you know, as press, you get treated like a peasant. Like, people think it's like so glamorous, but it's not. But no, I grew up very shy. So I wouldn't eat in front of people. I used to go to the nurse because they couldn't figure out why I had a stomach ache in grade school. I wouldn't go to the bathroom during the day. I was too shy to go to the bathroom, like a fucking little psycho. Mm-hmm. I don't get it, whatever. So I think at this point in my life, you know, I have grown into myself, obviously, and I'm not afraid to speak out, and I will be the voice for people that can't speak out. Mm-hmm. You know, my husband jokes, I get like in fights every day. I don't really get in fights, but like, you know, it's just like, I see something happening and I can't help it sometimes. I'm just like, why are you treating them like that? Because this poor person can't stick up for themselves. So I do feel, I don't feel like it's my job to speak out for other people, but if someone asks me, I, you know, I want to listen to their story, and I do want to help, because I'm not afraid.
So I'm going to dive right into it, because I think that's super interesting, because I think you get into the core of one of the things. I think I've told you before, like, I love the philosophy side of this. And by that, I just mean like, what can we learn from it, from what it tells us about human nature and how we act and how we can all be better, right? And help mm-hmm. people and do all that stuff. So like what you just articulated, that idea of like, you want to help people. If you see people, right, and you used to be shy and you're comfortable with yourself now and you want mm-hmm. to speak out and you want to fight that battle, that's awesome. That's a good thing. I always think, though, there could be a danger in that. You could like overcompensate. You could feel like, well, I used to be shy, so now I'm going to speak out on everything, or I'm going to mm-hmm. be the hero that's going to kind of save the day, or even just an inflated sense of like, I see it the right way, therefore I'm going to kind of tell people how it is. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying that's what you're doing, but like, how do you think about that? Do you ever worry about that side of it? Like, well, I used to worry that I was too shy. Now I worry, like, maybe like your husband jokes, yeah. like you're too outspoken. How do you think about that?
Yeah, no, I mean, like, that's a good question. So I get harassed a lot. Let's just, you know, put it out there. And do I worry? I don't worry about myself. I worry about my kids. I worry about the fact that, you know, like, stuff is public all the time, where you live, your phone number, this, that. So yeah, I worry about that a little bit, because people are crazy. And, you know, when I speak out, let's say, you know, for example, I was getting really bullied over, what was it recently? I interviewed Aaron Carter, the late Aaron Carter, his fiance, and I'm editorial. So I say my opinions. I'm not people have said, oh, you're not a journalist because, you know, they're supposed to be non-biased. I'm like, that says you. I work for, I'm freelance. Like, you know, I am non-biased for some of the outlets I write for. Absolutely. But when it comes to my own interviews and my own podcast, totally biased. So, I got harassed a lot and it wasn't fun. And then another time, you know, I was doing something. I think I told you when I met you at that party Joe Exotic, rep got, you know, this wrong impression about me that they said that I was doing a hit piece on Fox News for Joe, because the host said that, Joe beat animals, which he did. That's like factual. It was on camera. I did not say it. I went on record saying, I think Joe deserves a fair trial. And this guy I still get threatening calls about that. I exposed one guy, in Brazil. I got an anonymous tip because he was a woman abuser. His lawyers still call me to take it down. And you know what's funny? I'm like, listen, I'll take it down, but like, you got to do some work and send me a letter here. And also I vet these things. This is not me trying to ruin some Brazilian guy's life. I look through everything. I saw what he did to this woman. I saw other women step forward and I outed him, and that's that. So yeah, it is a little scary sometimes. And there are times that I turn things away where I'm like, this is not worth it for me and my family. It's a bad feeling. So
it sounds like it's more of it, which I totally get. It's like that fear of like you said, the bullying, the harassment, the attack. Is there ever, and again, I asked this question because it's the spirit of the show. So I hope you understand that we talked about it a little bit. Like, I'm not suggesting this case, but do you ever worry about, you said, like, I vet these things, I check and make sure.
Yeah.
It's putting a lot of responsibility on yourself and confidence in yourself that what you're seeing, how you're seeing it is accurate, right? And I know you know this because you work in the industry. There's some people that say things just for like, to get that like wow factor, or to be provocative, or to just, you know, and it's more about building their brand, building all of that. And I'm somebody that thinks like our egos are a really, really tricky thing. Right. I have no reason to believe that that's you by any means. But like, I think we're all susceptible to that, to just kind of wanting to grow, wanting to be better, wanting to get the story, even if we're doing it for a good reason, where we're like, we want to make a change, we want to get the truth out there. Sometimes our ego plays games with us. Like, how do you get the confidence to feel like when I'm saying these things, when I'm putting information out there and telling people, hey, this is the truth about somebody, and maybe it negatively impacts their lives, do you worry at all about that part, that maybe you're seeing it wrong? Maybe you're biased in some way that you don't realize? Or anything like that?
No, I've never. The only thing I'd say that has gotten to a point where, you know, I shed light on something that was negative for a person was this woman abuser. That's really the only time. I'll be honest with you. I received a video last week, an anonymous source, that works on the set of Real Housewives in, I'm not going to say which housewife, sorry. I was about to say, I'm going to give everything away right now. Something I didn't put out there on purpose, but they sent me a video of a housewife off camera. Can I curse and say inappropriate? Okay. Yeah. So off camera, and she called one of the producers a fucking tard, and she laughed about it. And then he goes, what? And she said it again. Are you a fucking tard? And this person wanted me to blast out the video, you know, and really call this person out on how she speaks to people and whatever. And, you know, I thought about it and I thought about it, and like, yeah, it's not great, but like, to me, that's not something I want to do. That to me, it crosses over into the whole, like, I don't know what was going on with her head. We joke all the time about stuff, you know. I'm sure I say like politically, actually, I know I say politically incorrect things in my house all the time, like, you know, whatever. So I'm like, what kind of person would I be if I did this? Right. Yeah. So I just said, thanks, but I don't think this is for me. You know, that's just an example of something. Like, I'm not here to ruin anybody. I'm here to help people. So the girl that got the shit kicked out of her, and the other women that happened to them, you know, I was certain. If I'm not certain, I'm not going there.
Yeah. Yeah. So. Okay. What, that sense of like, bringing justice, which I think is awesome. Where does that come from for you? Is that something you've always had? Like, you've always had that sense in you and you just now have the confidence to bring it out, or is it something that came over time?
No, I wish I could explain this to you. I really don't know. I mean, like, my background has always been entertainment and, you know, Broadway. And I was actually a theater major, in college for a year. And then I switched to communications and journalism. And you know, I don't know where this came from. I really don't. I've always been obsessed with like true crime, like every other white girl. So I don't want to sit here and like pretend like I'm some armchair detective, because I'm not trying to like bust, you know, cases and solve mysteries. I'm really not. But if something is happening, then I do get energized to help. So I had been working on this is crazy. So I don't know if you've heard about this, but the girl claiming to be Madeline McCann.
I heard a little bit about it. Yeah.
Yeah. So at first, to me, it had some legs. I jumped on it very early on as this girl said, you know, I think I can be Madeline. We have the same issues.
For people that don't know, just give a little, just quick, you know, 10, 20 seconds.
Yeah, that's what it is. She said, we have the same eye issue. We have the same moles. I've never seen my parents, I never saw my mom pregnant. She claims to have a picture of the suspect. I think his name was Christian something. The one suspect they had that kidnapped Madeline. She said she had a picture of him in her basement. You know, she said her parents claimed that, you know, they wouldn't, that she was not part of the family, whatever. So she says this on TikTok or Instagram. It blows up. It gets the attention of this psychic medium, this Persian medium, who now I've realized is a total clout chaser. So I had reached out to this girl, Julia, for an interview, and she sends me to this Persian medium. So I speak to her during the interview, and a lot of it made sense in the fact that they were trying to protect the McCanns. And basically, I read that the McCanns had agreed to a DNA test. And I'm like, that's incredible. You know, and she said, yeah, they don't want to rule anything out just in case. And then she said, but what we're doing is we're going to have Julia, the girl, and her family get a DNA test first. Cause if they match, then what's the point of bothering Kate and Jerry McCann? But the only thing is Julia's mom won't agree to one. So I was like, well, wait, that's sketchy, blah, blah, blah. Then I came across this, you know, I put this out there. This one little clip of me, Julia, and the Persian medium, whatever, and it gets 1.5 million views on TikTok. I'm like, okay, so this has legs to it. TikTok is great for testing new material, by the way. If you think people are interested or whatever, put it on TikTok and you'll get your answer. So I turn it into a podcast that gets a ton of views. I start getting all these tips in, or sorry, listens. I start getting a ton of tips in, and then I dig further, and then I see Julia's parents put out a statement, and that's when everything changed for me. Julia has always been a clout chaser. I see images, her family finally surfaces. She looks exactly like her family. I mean, turns out she's a sex worker. She's verified on Pornhub. She's very troubled. So everything is now pointing to her not being Madeline. Her eye issue doesn't appear in every photo. You know, there's things, her trying to find a baby daddy online, anything she can do for attention, she does. And it's just insane, right? It's insane. Well, I do a few more posts about her and just say, I'm putting this to bed. This is not, I'm not giving this girl any more attention. Well, a few, I'll call them armchair detectives at this point, started to hit me up on TikTok and Instagram a couple days ago. And they said, you have to talk to Miguel. You have to talk to Miguel. I'm like, who the fuck is Miguel? Like, I don't have time for this anymore. Like, this is ridiculous. Well, Miguel ends up getting in touch with me. And this is completely different, right? So Miguel wants his face blocked. He is like nervous, but he tells me he has info on where Madeline McCann actually is. So at this point, I'm like, this sounds fucking ridiculous. I'm like, this is so dumb. But then another part of me is like, if I don't hear him out, what if, right? What if? But I'm like, this is stupid. I'm going to like destroy my own credibility, whatever. So this is actually last night. I listened to him last night and I heard his story and I don't know what to think. I did a short clip on TikTok. I put it out there this morning, woke up. It's at like 75K views already. And, I sent it to Operation Grange, I believe it's called. It's Madeline's team of, yeah, they're looking for her. Because if this has legs and it's real, then there she is. This guy has like, he's claiming he has coordinates to find her in the Maldives. So, yeah.
So obviously that story is super interesting. And like you said, it's like true crime. It's all that. I want to press on you though, like, because I think it's super, like, what is it that lights you up and energizes you about it? And I'll throw some things out there, not to preempt answers, but I'm just curious because I could see it too. Like, there's the part you said before of like helping people. Maybe you're going to help find somebody and give a family peace and all that. And that's amazing. And maybe it's multiple things. I could also see it being like a puzzle of like, this is super interesting. I want to solve this puzzle. I could also see it being like, listen, like we get one life and we're here. Like this is like, look at this. This is crazy. Like, look at what's being happened and talk about here. Is it just like life experience? And like, if I'm going to be here, I want to do stuff that's interesting. Like, what is it that drives that energy? That
sure. It's absolutely like this. You're right. This is interesting to me. And I tell people, I only started doing this in 2019. It's 2023. The entertainment, this true crime, you know, whatever, started my podcast. Then I've only been doing this for 4 years because I, you know, I had my kids, you know, my husband was doing okay. And I just didn't like my job. I was working in digital advertising at the time. And my husband said, you know what, do what you're passionate about, just try it. And I was like, I was nervous at first because this industry, I mean, dude, it hurts. It's scary. It hurts. You put yourself out there a lot. You put yourself out there for bullying, for targets and yeah, but like you said, at the end of the day, I'm passionate about it. And there is talk about, like, let's say the clout and let's say the, I don't want to say the narcissism of it, but like, I'd be lying if I didn't say that I did like some of the attention of breaking a story. There is
1.5 million views has to feel nice, right? Like when you get those
it's
views.
The weirdest dopamine hit, and it's wrong. I will not allow my kids when they ask me to go on. So I have to think about this hard. I do not want them on social media. I did not have it until I was, 18 or 19 in college, basically. I do not want this for them now, right? They don't need these fake dopamine hits on getting, like you said, a million views, whatever. They don't need this. So it's like, I know this as I speak about it. And as I'm about to check as soon as we hang up, how
do you reconcile
views,
that? Like yeah. Listen, none of us are perfect. So I'm not judging it in any way.
Yeah,
I'm new to podcasts, but how do you reconcile that? The fact that, like, you know, it's wrong. You don't want your kids to do it, but you're so committed to it.
Well, so this is important. Like I said, I've gotten, social media is so important to what I do in the media. I mean, like TikTok, Instagram, whatever, you can post something on there and reporters will pick it up. They will pick it up so quick. I got the first interview with Cole Barnett from Love is Blind after, you know, that whole cutie scene. People might know that, they might not, whatever. People, the Today Show. I've never been published for the Today Show. I've never been, maybe I was on People once, but Entertainment Weekly. It was crazy. And it's like, this is why. And I showed my husband, I said, you know, you get upset with me. I'm on the phone all the time, but look, this is why I get picked up. That was like, you know, I would say 10,000 extra downloads for me on the podcast, which equates to more money. So it's like, this is what it does for you. So, but yeah, just going back to it, like I'd be lying if I didn't say the feeling that you get when you break a story and when you're the first one to discover it and no one else did. And then everyone's sharing your work and your discovery. It is like such a rewarding feeling. You just walk around with your head high that day, but in turn, the lows are super low. So like I'll do pitches. You know, I contribute for Fox. I contribute for a couple radio stations. And when they don't want my pitch or they don't like my story, it sucks and it hurts. And like it, for me, it's been like, the last time I was on Fox was January. You know, and it's like, I totally get it. The hard news cycle, this is what a lot has to do with it. You know, the hard news, the derailments of the trains and the China spy balloons and, you know, whatever. So people don't, you know, they don't necessarily want to hear about this person, you know, thinking that Madeline McCann is alive. Yeah. So, but again, it's like, you want to put it out there. So the lows are low. It sucks not to, I guess not, or to feel like you're not wanting to be heard, I guess. So
is again, and I ask this completely genuinely as somebody that's doing a podcast as well. So I'm right there with you. Like, is the extra downloads being picked up by people, the money that comes with it, right? Like this is that, again, another historical, famous philosophical debate. Like, is it worth it? Is it worth those lows you have to go through? Is it worth the stuff that you have to do to get those things? I mean, obviously you're doing it, so I assume the answer is yes, but like, what makes you feel like, yeah, being picked up by
people? I threaten to quit once a week. I'll be totally honest. Yeah, 100%. Like, threaten to quit once a week. Yeah, I mean, like I said, between the bullying and the, you know, I'll get off the air sometimes. And I think the last time I got off, I opened my phone up to like 3 Twitter messages of random people with no pictures and no followers, basically creating bully accounts just to tell me that they think my eyes are far apart And that I, they're like, you're like, yeah, they're like, you should not be on TV. Your eyes are so far. And I'm just like, what the fuck? Like, I'm like, go away. Like, I didn't ask for this. Like, you know? So yeah, I do a lot of the time. I'm like, I'm done. I'm threatening to quit and I'm, you know, it's not worth it. Mm-hmm. Or when that happens, I'll just flip it and I'll turn everything light. I'll just do straight entertainment, straight new movies, straight new shows, only celebrities. Celebrity interviews that are happy and I'll do that for a few weeks.
What's what's the dream? Like, what's the dream 5 years
from now?
Oh my
gosh.
What is success like?
Yeah, I would love to have a segment on a morning show, any type of show, just a segment for 15, 30 minutes a day. I would love for it to be national. And just really talk about anything that I want to talk about in the news. Let's say leaning towards pop culture, crime, entertainment, politics, that, you know, that realm, which I guess is kind of everything. What the fuck? I mean, yeah, I want a segment. I don't need a whole show. I don't need that. I just want 20 minutes, really. Mm-hmm. And, you know, for me, a morning show would be ideal because I feel like I would do well for that. But I feel like I would just have, you know, this outlet, this national platform, that, you know, would be seen and get my, you know, my work out there. Mm.
Do you talk to your kids about that? I know they're young, so maybe not, but like, do they understand what you do, what you're working towards? Like that?
Yeah.
Dream?
My daughter loves to show her friends, like my segments on Fox and like she, my son doesn't, he's a caveman. He's 4. So he doesn't. Yeah, no. But my daughter is like, she seems to be proud, but sometimes I forget she's very mature. And, you know, I started to talk to her about Madeline McCann and she's like, did she ever get found? And I was like, I was like, no, but she's okay. I'm like, they know she's okay. It was awful. That I'm like, what am I doing talking to her about this? But yeah.
What do you say to the people that like, there's a lot of people that, not a lot, obviously there's a lot of people that love it, but there's some people that say like the entertainment industry, this whole realm, like this is what's hurting the country, society, that we're so worried about. God, I'm not saying you're doing gossip, like, but back to where we were before, like it's very ego driven. Everybody's worried about just, you know, all that type of stuff. And that's actually a negative for us. What do you say to people?
Well, it's interesting that you say that because if you ever see some of my work, I only report on Republican or conservative leaning stations, like radio stations and TV. And that's not for like a specific reason per se. That's just who books me. And just, you know, full disclosure. Yeah, sure. I'm sure you heard me talking about, you know, vaccines being forced on my kids. So you would probably assume that I'm right leaning. I'm independent. I lean more right locally because I don't, I don't enjoy D.A. Bragg releasing the criminals. I think our mayor is a joke and, you know, so on and so forth. But it's just funny because being at these places and being at, let's say, the radio station I worked at, WABC, I did entertainment and nobody cared. And I would always make it known if, you know, let's say it's considered a win in radio if nobody, or actually TV as well, if nobody flips the station when you're on, if the numbers, the streaming numbers just stay flat, that's a win. If, you know, if you gain, people turn it on when you're on because they heard a teaser or whatever, that's like, you're going to be promoted and everyone's going to like bow down to you. But a lot of the time, the way, you know, they rate things is people drop off if someone comes on. So I would always be super proud when I would do a segment and nobody would drop off because they know I'm coming and doing entertainment. Mm-hmm. But most places, no one likes entertainment. No one cares. They think Hollywood's trash. They think they're Satan worshipers. They think whatever. So it's been weird for me in a way because I have been, you know, with the Balenciaga stuff, I was very loud and proud calling out celebrities, like, you're still wearing it. You're still wearing it. That's gross. Like, you know, so yeah, I have to tread a line there a little bit in calling them out and just being like, you know, allies. So that's a really interesting question.
Yeah, it is. And I think it's like, it's on the one hand, like I said, it's like, who is anybody to judge and say what's good or bad for society, what it is. But like, even in that, right, like the numbers going up and down, this view of like the validation of like, do people like it, right? Are people responding to it? Is it getting enough views on TikTok, as you said before? I would imagine it ties back to what you said for your kids a little bit, why you don't want them on social media. Like, there's something that I think we rhetorical, we have a general sense of that, like, you should feel good enough as yourself. You shouldn't need external validation. You shouldn't need people to be like, you're great or you're popular or you're, you know, whatever, your eyes are the right distance apart, any of that shit. right. That's why we don't want our kids on there, because we don't want them to feel bad about themselves. I go back to that. Like, how do you think about that? How do you protect yourself against that, from not where your identity, your worth isn't rooted in how many views did you get today? What stations are picking you up?
Yeah. I mean, I would say, like, you can't really. I mean, you, like, no, you don't really protect yourself from it, because you fall victim to it. It's like, you know, I hate the fact that, oh, I realize I'm in a better mood because my video got, that is just what happens and it sucks. Or, oh man, no one's biting. Oh my gosh, I feel crappy. And, you know, a lot of this, and I would say you have to have thick skin to do this because of all the messages that you get and all the hate that you get, because I don't want to say that you are constantly gaslit, but I'll admit sometimes I'm like, wait, like, am I a bad person? Did I say that? And then I'm like, no, I was like, of course I didn't mean it like that. I know this. And it just, this actually happened to me the other day, which I found very interesting. And again, I felt like I was being gaslit a little bit. I had somebody, a trans person, reach out to me, and they were sexually assaulted. They had this story and they were, you know, something was taken advantage of by this movie company that they were working with, her story and her assault, and you know, they didn't get permission, all these things. And she's, you know, she's going through this lawsuit, and she told me she pitched this to like 15 journalists, and, they pitched this. I don't want to misgender them, because, you know, whatever, I don't want to disrespect. So they pitched this to, you know, 15 journalists. You know, nobody was biting. They pitched it, you know, to freelancers who pitched it to their people. Nobody was biting. So I was like, all right, there's clearly a reason no one's biting, you know, but let me look into this. So at the end of the day, I felt like, you know, they deserve to get their story out there. So I said, look, I will at least have you on my podcast. You can say whatever you want. I will not edit it. You can just put it out there. I'll just do that for you. Right. They were so grateful. And then like an hour later, I get an email and they're like, hey, Lauren, I just got done looking at your Instagram and, you know, your TikTok or whatever. And I just realized we are diametrically opposed on the political spectrum. Mm. And, you know, I just don't think it's wise that we collaborate. So I go back and I look at my stuff, and it's really not. I had like one thing on Instagram that I thought Sam Smith looked like shit, because he does look like shit. He's fat now. And he dresses like a fucking pig wrapped in like wire. What the fuck? You know what I mean? I'm like, I'm not sorry about that. Like, he's a great talent, but he looks like shit. So I saw that. I'm like, that's like the only semi-political thing I posted. And I'm thinking to myself, are you kidding? Are you mental? Basically the one person that was giving you a shot right now. You don't see the irony in this. The one person that was going to share your story. You actually, okay, that's fine. And also it's kind of like, these people don't want to be judged for being trans or being whatever, but you were sitting here, quote unquote, judging a book by its cover. You were doing the exact opposite. And it's like, this is why we're never going to get anywhere as a country, as a society, because of this. Mm. I was completely willing. I don't give a shit if you're trans. Okay. I will call you whatever you want. Do I want my, you know, my kids being introduced to the fact that you can hack off your tits at, you know, whatever age you want? No, I don't want that for them. If they're 18 and they decide it, sure, whatever, go ahead. I'm not going to wish that on them. But again, it's like, who do you think you are for, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So it makes me very sad, sad for this country and the fact that we just have to judge everybody. So
let me hit two pieces to that. And the first one, I totally get it. But this is what I grapple with a lot, right? Philosophically thinking about it, of like, how do we know? How can we trust ourselves to know, right? And I'm not saying it's the case in this instance, but the gaslighting, right? The bullying, as you spoke about it, like, how do you know maybe sometimes it's not warranted? How do you, like, and I mean that quite literally, like, how do you know, like, what is your gauge? How do you trust yourself to say, I looked at my Instagram feed, I looked at what I said, I see what this person's saying, and they're accusing me of doing something bad, but I know I didn't do it? Because that's a big bet in some ways, replacing, right? I'm not saying this is you, but some of the greatest human suffering that I think has occurred in the history of the world is because people placed the bet to say, I'm fine. I'm not doing anything wrong. I'm going to keep pushing ahead, right? I often bring up as a very extreme on this show, like a Hitler. Hitler thought like, everything's good. I'm doing the exact right thing for the world.
He thought, right.
So like, how do you check yourself? How do you make sure that when you say, no, that person's gaslighting me, I didn't do anything wrong. How do you know?
Yeah, no, that's a great question. And, I can give you an example of this. I, on the podcast with, about the girl claiming to be Madeline, I said this and I put it as a teaser. So I was ready for the world to hear me say it. I did not care. I just said, look, if this girl is Madeline McCann, right? Let's say she is. I said a million times she's not, but let's say she is. I am very sad for Kate and Jerry McCann, as of course they would not dream of their daughter being a sex worker. Okay. And that, I'm sorry. Do you dream of your kids being a sex worker? No. Are you saying that it's a bad industry and it's negative? Well, I'm not saying it directly, but sure. I'm saying it's not ideal for me. This is my podcast. I can say my opinion and I can say what I want. Well, of course, all these girls come out of the woodwork saying there's a special place in hell for you, not supporting other women, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, okay, I hear you. Not like quote unquote supporting other women. I did say that it was sad. It would be sad for the McCanns if she was a sex worker. And then I also wrote in a disclaimer this, and I literally, you can go to my Instagram, because I made it very clear. I'm not into bullying. I don't think this girl, Julia, should be bullied, even though what she's doing is so wrong. So I said, just because I'm calling her a sex worker, I'm not inciting violence against her. This is not meant for you all to go and bully her and say you're a whore, you're this, you're that. I actually put that as a disclaimer. So these people that were calling me out, it's like, you should hear them. They told me to go, you know, die and crawl in the hole back where I came from. It's just like, guys, do you hear yourself? Mm-hmm. I specifically politely said on my podcast, I don't think any parent dreams of their kid being a sex worker. That is it. And look, listen to you. Mm-hmm. So yeah, like, you know, did I write back to some of them? And I said, you know, I'm sorry if I offended you. I really am. Cause chances are that person's probably a sex worker and I offended them and I'm very sorry. So yeah, I'll apologize. Like if that hurt someone individually, you know, but as a whole, as a blanket statement, I stand by that statement. Yeah. But yeah, I could see where it maybe hurt someone.
It's tricky too, right? Because like there's a weird, and just looking from the outside, not even necessarily your specifics, but you could use that where it's like, mm-hmm. there's similarity, like the Sam Smith you think you just said before. And I get it. I hear what you're saying. Like,
yeah.
Okay. You say something bad about somebody says something bad about you. And it's like, all right, you know, like they're now attacking you because they don't like what you said, but they feel like they're doing that because you attack somebody. And there's like this cycle of it that like
goes on and on.
How do you think about that with what you're saying with like the bullying and the hard days you've had where you've like, there's sometimes I want to quit. Some people could be like, well, there's an irony in that because you're calling out other people, but now when people call you out, it hurts. And I get that, right? Again, I'm not saying mm-hmm. it's simple. I'm not judging, but like, does that ever make you wonder and question? Like maybe, I don't know. Like maybe it's, there's something.
Well, no, because I would say the purpose of my job is not to call people out, right? Like that's not, I'm not spending my days quote unquote calling people out. I'm not a whistleblower. I'm not. So let's say, you know, some of these things I'm putting out there into the universe, it's not necessarily a call out. It's just that, you know, this person deserves a fair trial. This person, it seems like they might've been murdered instead mm-hmm. of quote unquote committing suicide. So it's not necessarily calling people out all the time. So no, I don't think I'm being a hypocrite or anything and saying I want to give up because of the bullying, because I don't think it has to happen that way. I don't bully people. Again, me saying, let's say going back to saying she's a sex worker or going back to saying, you know, Joe Exotic deserves a new trial. I don't think that's bullying or calling anyone out of, you know, with anything. So no, I don't think that, me getting bullied for a week after that is necessary, or opening my phone every time I open my phone and I see something else. I mean, I would say like, I don't understand how certain celebrities do it. Like let's say, the Real Housewives, for example, they're splashed on the front cover of Page Six. If I remember Teresa Giudice, they thought she had a fake Chanel bikini on or something. They put her on. Like, I'm like, what? Who cares? Like she didn't ask for that. She's just enjoying a vacation with her family. I mean, that to me is like absurd, but then you could argue, well, she's a reality show star and she makes a lot of money for being okay, fine, but she's still a human. Mm-hmm. So it's like, why do we have to trade? Why does she have to choose? Like, I don't know.
Yeah, but, no, I get that. All right. Yeah. Let me ask this thread as we get towards the end. I like asking this sometimes towards the end. I'll get real philosophical now. Okay. Zooming way out. How do you think about the meaning of, I'll ask it the simplest way, like the meaning of life. Like, what, why do you think we're here? Maybe individually we have our purposes, right? As you're talking about, we have that, but like big picture, when you think about, and it could go where you want to go with it. It could be religious, spiritual, it could be scientific. It could be just, I don't know. I have no idea. It's just fucking random. I don't know why we're here.
I mean, I've never actually thought about that before. That's really funny that you asked that. I should have known, because you are a psycho, philosophical guy here. No, I mean, I don't know. Like, I do feel like it's my kids. I feel like I was never that girl that dreamed of, you know, oh, I'm going to have, you know, 3 kids and I'm going to get married by 25. I never was like that. But I do, you know, I do have 2 kids and they're wonderful and lovely, and I have a wonderful husband. And yeah, I feel like maybe God put me on this earth, to really be a good mom. I know that sounds crazy, but like my kids, they're so fucking annoying sometimes. So I'm not going to pretend like I'm that mom that
it's not,
you know,
all great all the time. Yeah.
Yeah, it's not, but it's like something is just, I think my kids are so special, and I, you know, it was a tough road to get my kids. So it's like, I feel like I was given this gift, and, you know, I just feel like they're just so special. And I think that my purpose maybe is just to
be their mom,
love them and teach them. And, you know, and I do, I pray a lot. We go to church.
I was going to ask, so you mentioned God. So is it,
we're Baptist and it's funny, cause I'm a fucking potty mouth. I say the F word. I'm so bad. But no, I teach my daughter's Sunday school class, and, I'm amazed at how she absorbs things, like, and I'm just amazed at how she seems, I guess, since I grew up in the church and it wasn't great, I want to do things a little differently for my kids too. And they seem to be receptive to that. And, you know, I just want them to be good people, because the world is so full of bad people. And I want them to see that you can still be like your mom and sort of, you know, have it out with somebody, but in a good way. You know what I mean? Like, you can still argue with someone, and, you know, you can do it politely, and you don't have to name call, and you can argue, you know, for the sake of, you know, something you believe in, not over a parking spot. You know, yeah. I'm not talking about that shit, or I'm not talking about, yeah, I'm talking about life, like important life decisions. So
I'm always curious this. How do you talk to your kids about God? Like, do they, like, how do you explain the concept of God to them?
They understand. So they've just grown up with the concept of God, I guess, in our house. And, you know, we pray to God every night. They do ask about like heaven and the kingdom of heaven. And I'm curious about that too. You know, I know a lot of people think it's like a fantasy and whatever. And well, you know what? I want to believe that it's real, because I want to go there and be with my deceased family. I want to go hang out with Chris Farley. So I just feel like, you know, I dream of all of that being real. And I just feel like, you know, if you actually read the Bible and the word, I think it does bring comfort to you. And during the whole Balenciaga stuff, when that came out, we just happened to be in the book of Revelation at my church. And I discovered all this stuff about Baal, the God of Baal or whatever this was, from the Bible. And I'm like, oh my gosh, this shit is real. This is mind blowing. These people are Satanists. So it does suck to be thought of as some like camo wearing Trumper now, if you talk about God or go to church, and that's bullshit to me. You know what I mean? Like, I'm just like, if you have an American flag, you're a Trumper. If you wear, you know, like I said, it's like, it's dumb. It's like, I'm sick of what, you know, the world is coming to at this point.
So. All right. Last question. I promise, for real this time.
Yeah, no, it's cool.
Cause I think it's interesting too. Like, I try and do this sometimes. So you just said, right? Like that view that I totally agree, right? The view that if you're religious, you believe in God, somehow you're, you know, some crazy Trumper or whatever. If you try and empathize with the other, I try and do this. I try and empathize with things I don't understand. Like, if you ever try and do that, like, is there anything to that other side? Like, is there any ability to empathize with that and understand like where they're coming from, or why they think that way, or why it's gotten to that point? Do you have any view?
I mean, of course. Like, I feel like if you didn't have the fear of God, people don't want the fear of God. They want to live their life and not feel bad about doing shitty things. Let's be honest. The fear of God has stopped me from doing a lot of shit, right? Like, I don't have a clear example, but I just mean like, let's say, you know, you're out at a bar, you're married, you're whatever. Okay. I love my husband, but also I have the fear, you know, that's just an example, whatever. When you're a kid, like, you know, you need the fear of God. And I do feel like people want to resist it because they're like, I don't need anything in my life telling me what I can and can't do. I don't need, you know, or they say, oh, God's a hypocrite. The whole first, or the Old Testament, you know, he's murdering babies, this and that. Yeah, sure. Not like no one's saying, listen to the entire Bible. And I'm very clear on a lot of the stuff because, you know, if my kid's gay, I'm not going to tell them they're not going to heaven. I'm going to say, God loves you. And there's nothing you can do to make God not love you. And that's the whole point. So I think that these Pentecostal Christians and these evangelist Christians, they give everyone else a bad name, you know? And so people want to distance themselves, but yeah.
Super interesting. Well, listen, Lauren, I think I love these conversations. I never know where they're going to go, but I think in a way in what you're doing, what you valued in the beginning, like just trying to hear people's stories, just trying to understand the truth in some ways, whatever the hell the truth means. And like, just trying to learn more and understand people. I think that's super interesting. And I think given what you do and how public you are and how out there you are, I think it's super cool personally to hear kind of like that level deeper of like what's behind it, what's underneath it, how does it work with your family and all that. And I hopefully other people enjoy it too. So I appreciate you being on. I appreciate you being as open as you are and just kind of talking through it. I think it's super interesting. I think it's how we maybe address some of the issues you talked about is people just taking the time to listen, understand, reflect, you know, those types of things. So I think it's awesome.
And just know that like, if you're a bully, an online bully, like everybody reads it. Even celebrities read it. Like they, and everybody has a bad day where they clap back and they're just not in the mood. So just understand that I've interviewed a lot of people and they read it. They read all your comments. And so if that's your goal to be a piece of shit and get under these people's skin, well, it works. Good job. Yeah. But yeah, I'm with you.
I'll say as the last thing to that, I think to the bullying point, because I think I have a son too. I think we talked about that. The bullying, I think about this a lot. I think more often than not, people don't even realize that they're being bullies. Like maybe not always. Some people I think definitely do, but they don't even realize it. So I think that's part of it too, as we've been talking about it here, of like that just trying to think about like, what is my intention? And sometimes it's God that serves that function that allows you to stop and think and be like, am I doing this for the right reasons? Like, how does this play out? But I think for some people, like just realizing, I didn't even realize I was a bully, but maybe I am one, because people get so caught up in what they're doing in their day to day.
No, you're right. You're right. And just really quickly, I was watching a Dateline about this teacher that kidnapped a 15-year-old girl. You know, this was like last year and they were gone. And these old ladies are like, well, she went willingly. These old ladies. And I'm like, bitch, she was 15. If she went willingly, she was 15. Even still, how can you blame this girl? I'm like, you're a bully. Yeah. Blaming her, basically calling this 15-year-old a whore. I'm like, how? Imagine yourself at 15. God, people are, they're crazy. Yeah. Anyway, thanks for having me. This was a blast.
Of course. That was awesome. Thank you, Lauren. I appreciate it. Hope you have an awesome
day. No problem. Bye.
Hey, thanks a ton for listening to the episode. I really do appreciate everybody that listens. And I think it's super cool that people want to hear conversations like this. They want to hear us talk about values and different perspectives and really just philosophical thinking. I'm kind of on this mission or journey to bring philosophy back to the forefront, maybe even make philosophy cool again. Because I just think there's so much value in thinking about our thinking, questioning and challenging ourselves more, pondering these big picture questions about life. So in that spirit, I'm trying to expand that mission a little bit. And I created a Patreon account that would be awesome if you check out. I'll put the link in the show notes. It's pretty simple, though. It's patreon.com/whatsthevalue. And the idea is for people that maybe want to learn more about philosophy, dip their toe in it a little bit, or maybe you already love it and just want to get more of it, check it out. Because there's kind of a tier for everybody, whether you just want to get like a quick philosophical video or a thought of the day. Maybe you want to email or text me some questions and get some thoughtful philosophical responses. Or if you want to have a live one-on-one chat over Zoom. We're even doing group discussions where we kind of do group philosophical debates and discussions and ponder some of those big questions. So check it out. See if it's something you might be interested in. As I said, I just love to bring more philosophy into our lives, and I thought this might be a cool way to do it. Whether that's your thing or not, and you're into Patreon or not, I really do appreciate a ton that you listen and check out these episodes. So I appreciate it greatly, and I hope you have an awesome day.